Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Dr. Varbel, should you be walking your dog in heat like this? Will the pavement burn their feet?
You know what? For most dogs, this is going to be a pretty rough day.
Yeah.
To go for a walk, yeah. We do see friction blisters on feet this time of year from hot pavement, hot sidewalks, areas around the pool. You know, if you're in an area where you have to go for a walk because that's how your dog takes care of, you know, number one and number two, it's certainly okay to do it briefly because we also have to think about, like, time. You know, running outside, taking care of business in the shade is one thing. But, you know, today is probably not the best day to take your dog for an hour-long walk. You know, other activities indoors, in air conditioning, in the shade are probably going to be better today.
Yeah. Dr. Dana Varbel is with us. She joins us on Fridays. She's Chicago's exotic pet vet. She is also the chief veterinary officer for the North American Veterinary Community. If you have a question, text or call right now. 312-981-7200. I am intrigued to know your opinion on whether all dogs can swim. I had a basset hound who fell into the pool, and thank God I was there because she sunk like a rock. They're not, I think we think they can swim, but they really can't all dog paddle, can they?
They really can't. That's a great example of a breed that, yeah, is, might sink like a rock in a pool, rather. There's, you know, many, many dogs. I will say, it seems like the majority of dogs will instinctually start to paddle. Many dogs are really good swimmers. Think about those Labradors, those Newfoundlands, even Golden Retrievers that were really designed and frequently bred for swimming. They're going to be natural water dogs. But plenty of dogs, you know, I think about the short, squatty little breed, the Basset Hounds, the English Bulldogs, the French Bulldogs. Not to say none of them swim, because I have seen some English Bulldogs, believe it or not, that get in the water and, I mean, they got to paddle hard. I'm not going to lie, because their bodies are just not as buoyant. They do tend to sink. So even, you know, even among some strange breeds that you might think of would be good swimmers, you'll find an occasional individual dog that just doesn't like to swim or doesn't want to or isn't good at it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And if you are boating, those little life jackets they make, mm-hmm. that's got to be a good idea, right?
They're a great idea, yeah, because even if you have a dog like a Labrador that is, you know, hits the water running and, you know, just loves it, you know, a big wave, someone not paying attention, so many things can go wrong in the water. And when things go wrong in the water, they can go wrong quickly. So there's two advantages to those life jackets. One, it just provides a little extra support for them. So a lot of times, even dogs that are really good swimmers will be able to swim for longer before they get really worn out, which is kind of nice if you want a long, good outing, even with a good swimmer. But the other thing they do is provide visibility. They're bright yellow, they're bright red, they're bright pink, they're bright green. And it allows not only you to see where your dog is and keep track of them better, but it also allows other boaters on the water, other folks on the water, know that something, they might not recognize that it's a dog, but something's in the water there and it could prevent some tragic accidents.
That's wonderful.
So I love a doggy life vest.
I'm glad to know they're working well. We've got calls coming in right now at 312-981-7200 and text messages, and we're also going to address what it means when your dog's wagging the tail. We all think we know, but maybe that wag has a different meaning. We'll find out from Dr. Dana Varbel next. Dr. Dana Varbel is with us. She is Chicago's exotic pet vet, and Mike is on line too. And Mike, is this a real question, or are you just playing and having fun?
Oh no. It's a real question. The younger dog is 4 years old. The older one is 12. They get along well. They get along with people and everything like that. They play together well. But the younger dog one time lifted his leg and peed on the other dog. And I will also say this, too. About 30 years ago, I saw a Labrador Retriever do the same thing to a two-year-old child.
Oh.
And so I was wondering what's going on when dogs do that.
Well, so a couple of things, especially, I mean, it's true of female dogs, but especially a male dog, they really are trying to mark territory. And we think of territory as space. Their yard, that great fire hydrant down the block, you know, the tree in the park that they love to sniff, that everybody in the entire neighborhood seems to pee on if you're a dog. But, yeah, they'll also do it to kind of mark other animals. So particularly their pack mates, their friends, they will occasionally lift their leg to pee on a less dominant or basically just a less assertive member of their family. Now, they'll also do that with people, which, you know, not great. But and a well-trained dog, you'll notice this mostly, they're doing it outside. They're thinking, oh, my gosh, I don't want you to get separated from me. Let's make sure everybody knows that you belong with me. So here's my scent on you. That way, you know, when we run into other dogs, they'll know we're together. End of discussion. So it's just kind of another way to mark who belongs with who, who's in what territory. But yeah, from our perspective, not a great habit, right? Not a great habit. Ugh.
That's so funny. Okay, let's talk about when they're wagging their tail. I mean, we all go, oh, they're happy to see us. But there's different types of wags, right?
There are. Absolutely, yeah. Does anyone else name a certain type of wag in their dog? Does anybody else do you do that, Lisa?
Yeah, yeah. Waggly taggly, yeah. Is Luna's, you know, that is when her whole hip is going sideways because she's over the moon to see us.
Right, yeah. We have one of our dogs, we call it helicopter tail. That's like super excited. We call one of our dogs, he gets what we call swishy tail. So we definitely get different signals from different tail behaviors. And, you know, we can see things like a dog that's very tense and very unsure of himself. You'll see a real stiff tail and with a little wag. And that can actually be, believe it or not, a warning sign for a dog that is very nervous, very anxious. And it might be a sign to back up because maybe we've got a dog that might bite. Believe it or not, we always think happy tail, happy dog, but that's not always the case. Now, a big loose wag that is speeding up and, you know, dogs, like you said, their whole hips are into it and their whole body's moving, that's a happy, just a happy-go-lucky dog. You know, their whole body, you know, you have to just look at the tail. But look at their whole body, too. Is this a dog that's happy and running around, or are they very tense and wagging their tail? Because those are two different tails, and they're telling us two very different things.
Very true. Pay attention. Okay, we have a question on the text line. They have a retired racehorse who has calm days and feisty days. Is there a CBD for horses? If so, what kind and how much?
Oh, my goodness. So first of all, thank you for taking a retired racehorse. That is a wonderful thing. You know, the great thing about retired racehorses is they are really, they've been around people. They've been around horses. They've been around loud noises and crazy situations. So, you know, in that sense, they can be great companion horses. There are some herbal products out there for horses that can kind of help on those crazy days, those tense days. Definitely want to talk to an equine vet because they can, remember, any product can interact with other medications. So I'm always reluctant to say a specific drug or a specific dose because if your pet or your horse in this case is on something that could interact, I don't want to cause any harm. But I will say this, retired racehorses still have a little pep in their step on their good days, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Oh, gosh, if I could just get back at it, if I could just go race one more time. So they can be really fun animals to have in retirement. So yeah, good luck.
Here's my piece of advice from, you know, loving Frank and having Frank for 20 years after him coming off the track at Del Mar. When you do a trail ride, make sure you're first. Because if you're not, you will be first quicker than you can possibly imagine.
You will be first.
As I'm holding up for dear life, and people are like,
"That drive, right?"
Yeah, yeah. He's like, "No, we're going to the front of the pack." So much fun. And with the dogs, you know, marking other dogs, humping has mm-hmm. been coming up. That's a sign of domination as well, right?
It is. It can be a sign of play, too. We tend to, and I'm guilty of this, too, we tend to assign certain behaviors very specific meaning. And, you know, humping, you usually going to see a more dominant, a dog with a bigger personality, hump or, you know, do that to their, again, their pack mates. Unfortunately, sometimes children and adults fall into that category. Strangers that you don't want to be embarrassed in front of always fall into that category. So that's always challenging. But humping can't, I mean, some dogs just do that kind of as like a silly play thing too. So, you know, you can sort of disrupt it a little bit, but you have to be careful in a way to respect dogs interacting with other dogs too. I know a lot of dogs will start, you know, especially the less time a dog will start to stand up for themselves. And, you know, you always have to kind of read that situation carefully. Let them stand up, but don't let them push it to the point where they're hurting each other ever.
You are the best. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, everyone have a great weekend. Stay cool. Hopefully the storms won't affect anyone of their pets this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Dr. Dana Varble, Chicago's exotic pet vet. That's where you can find her. She is also the chief veterinary officer for the North American Veterinary Community.